Hey guys, welcome. How's everybody doing? Good evening, good morning, good week, good Monday, good Tuesday, good June. It's June now. Wow. June. You know, I saw that movie yesterday and I love it. I'm a huge, anybody who knows me knows I'm a humongous Beatles fan. I love the Beatles, and I know almost, not everything. I know a lot about the Beatles. I loved that movie yesterday. If anybody hasn't seen it, basically it's about this guy who's like a singer-songwriter, not very successful, like very amateur in England. And he gets in a bicycle accident and basically wakes up in the hospital, you know, out of a coma or whatever. And he's like in a same world, everything else, but it just so happens that the Beatles never existed. And he knows all their songs and everything else. And anyway, so he becomes a just famous recording artist or songwriter because he can write all these Beatles songs that nobody's ever heard of. And there's a part where he's in a recording studio. And I love this. I fucking love this aspect of it. But basically, he's saying, well, they're like, you know, hey, Jude, that's good. But have you ever thought of calling it, hey, dude? And I thought it's perfect because it's like, you know, it just fucking imagine like these motherfuckers like experiencing the fucking song for the first time. And there's always a fucking critic. Maybe instead of hey, Jude, it's hey, dude. Yeah. Hey, dude, Anyways. Yeah. So the, that was a good song. Tonight we had an interesting podcast. I'm not going to lie. It was good. It was really, really good. We started a while ago, and on this show, it's me and Margaret, of course, and our special guest for the evening is our buddy Omar. Omar, if you'll remember, was on one of our first episodes that we recorded a couple years ago where he was engaged or just newly married. And he was talking about how he likes breakfast in bed. His wife does all these wonderful things, and it's just going to keep going forever and ever. So we had a little bit of a retouch on that, and we had a long talk about all kinds of stuff. And then I realized, or we had a little glitch because we're doing call-ins, and his phone dropped or something happened, but I'm going to take the blame for this. I'm going to take this on the cheek. Something happened, and I lost the first hour and a half of our recording. So we had to pick back up after already a long night of talking, but nonetheless, it was still fantastic. Of course, I'm not going to lie. I think Margaret has the most amazing, like I wish I could be a fly on the wall during her life, just because I imagine it's just entertaining as hell and super fun. And the only thing I get the feeling that she probably needs a break from being super mom all the time, 100% of the time. So, and who wouldn't, right? I mean, who doesn't need a break? Who doesn't need to take a, you know, a 30-minute dump while looking at their iPad and watching YouTube videos of cats? Like, everybody needs that. Anyways, we have a good podcast today. It's I'm not gonna lie, we're in a little bit of a dark space, a dark area with our world right now, and it's kind of hard to it's kind of hard to disconnect from that and try and find something that's entertaining and lively and upbeat to talk about and think about. So, anyways, with all that's going on and all that we need to work on as a society, it's good to be able to just kind of laugh, look back at our previous days or older days or good times that we've had in the past and laugh and joke about that. So that's a lot of what we did. So I know you're going to be upset, but yeah, we start this podcast in the middle of a story, and it's a wonderful story, but basically it's one of the last like big, you know, night on the towns that we had. And it was like 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. We went to a concert in a small town outside of San Antonio called Helotes, and went to a concert of a musician called Bob Schneider. And if anybody knows Bob Schneider, they know that his live concerts are absolutely amazing and just a lot of fun. And so we talk about all of that happened that night and the shenanigans we got into. And we go into a great deal of depth with Margaret's dating and things like that. But anyways, it was a good show. I think I think overall, I got to work out some kinks. I wanted to do FaceTime. I don't know this for sure, but I suspect that Margaret is like rolling her eyes half the time or not paying attention. I think she's half-assing it sometimes. So I want to be able to like validate that she's fucking paying attention when I'm talking. So I need to work out some kinks there, maybe do Zoom or something on the phone, but we need to get some video to confirm that everybody's fucking listening. But otherwise, it's a good show, I think. I'll stop yapping because it's already a long intro, but no, it was a good show. I think it's good. I think I'll just step out of the way and cue the whistling music. One of the last like real hoorah moments that we had all three of us together was in 2009. Yeah. We were at a Bob Schneider concert in San Antonio, and I remember it was me, Margaret, and Paul. What's funny is everybody's been on this podcast. Everybody that we're going to talk about has been on this podcast. So me, Margaret, and Paul, me and Margaret go to Paul's house, and Paul and his new wife, Amber, we have a couple of drinks, and then we go and we ride to the Bob Schneider concert together. Oh no, I guess I drove. I guess, no, we rode there together, I thought. I don't remember how that happened.
We did.
Yeah, we did, right? Yeah. We rode together. Mm-hmm. We went to the Bob Schneider concert, and we're having a blast. Like, we were all, like, as every other Bob Schneider concert there is, it's like you're just having a blast. They're recording it. It's great. Margaret, you made your debut on albums. And Omar and Ernie met us up. Did Bob show up then? And it was just Ernie and Omar. Ernie was on the drunk podcast that we did that time when they surprised Amy and they came in town. Anyways, and I thought, to my memory, we were all supposed to leave the Bob Schneider concert. We drove back to Paul's house. Me and Margaret rode with Paul and his wife back to Paul's house, where my Jeep was. And then we got to Paul's house. Margaret, you were just shit-faced and like in punch drunk love with Bob Schneider. And we get in the car. We were supposed to meet Ernie and Omar at another bar.
Yeah.
And I thought I was texting Ernie and you, Omar. I was like, hey guys, listen, we're not going to be able to make it. And I literally put in the text, this bitch is way too drunk. They're never going to let us in the bar as drunk as she is. And then, like, Margaret's, like, in the crash position of, like, you know, like, in the airlines and the planes. And, like,
I'm, like, hunched over.
She's hunched over with her head between her knees, and she's mad. She's just, like, typical, like, Latina pissed at everything. And she's like, fucking this and that. And, like, who's calling my phone? My phone's is blowing up now. Who the fuck is calling me at this time of night thinking I'm all, you know, free and whatever, trying to booty? And she's looking at the phone, and she gets all quiet, and she goes, you sent it to the wrong person, Leonard. And I guess because my BlackBerry, it shows how old it is, it's BlackBerry time. I guess because, like, I thought I was texting Ernie and Omar, because I guess I clicked the notification thing, like, hey, we're outside the bar. And I was actually responding to the text as I was doing Margaret. And I said, they're never going to let me in. This bitch is way too drunk. So Omar, I thought Ernie and Omar
in that fucking turning lane for minutes.
We had to stop
laughing our asses off.
Because she really, like, it was the kind of quiet where, like, I wasn't sure she was going to pull out a switchblade and start trying to cut me. But, like, it got really quiet. And she goes, you sent it to the wrong person, Leonard.
your life is probably almost over.
Oh, had I known at the time she was a hairdresser?
All in all, that night, like, just to kind of recap and continue the night, it was so much fun, okay? That was the second time we'd seen Bob Schneider. Ernie was drunker than me, which is rare, okay? And I don't, this is the part that's kind of hazy for me. But I don't know if he drove there, but I know that I had my vehicle, my truck, and I drove him home, and I dropped him. I dropped him off, and my friend Jenny was like, "Well, you know, I'm still drinking." Man, I don't know.
Here's what's funny. Again, we've already timestamped this. Like I said, BlackBerry. This is before Uber, way before Uber. And like, here's what's funny, because to me, it really didn't seem like it was that long ago. But the idea that like Omar said, like, hey, we're gonna go to a concert. I'm gonna meet you there, and I'm gonna drive myself in my car. And then like, as you're driving to the concert, like, yeah, I'll probably have like one or two beers. No big deal. I can handle that. And then it's like, it's a 3-hour concert. And so like, yeah, and the beers are $2 or the Seagram 7.
But there were also 24-ounce beers.
Yeah, and it's also like, or the Seagrams are on special and it's, you know, the $2 Seagrams, whatever. And you're like, oh, well, if it's on special, it's like I'm losing money unless I drink a lot. So I better drink a lot. But like that mentality of like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get shit-faced. And then still drive home. Or it's not even that you think you're going to get shit-faced, but you're like, I'm going to go out and be fine. I'm going to have a couple of drinks. And then, because like now, if I'm going to go meet some friends for dinner, even if I don't think I'm drinking, I'm likely going to Uber. Like, I'm there's a high likelihood I'm going to Uber.
Yep.
Just because. And what's funny, I put that meme up on Facebook. What's funny as shit, though, is like, when I am Ubering, that just gives me an excuse, like, well, I might as well get really fucked up now. Like, I got an Uber. Like, I got to make it count.
Right, exactly.
And so, like, yeah. Not only am I going to drink when I get to the restaurant. Yeah.
I'm on a mission.
Yeah, like, not only am I going to drink when I get to the restaurant, I'm going to drink right fucking now while I'm waiting for the Uber. And it's like.
And after. When this motherfucker drops me off, I'm about to get drunk.
Yeah. Right, because, like, I'm not about to waste $8.
I mean, the Uber driver's not going to, he's not going to throw me in a ditch or anything. Yeah. I mean, I'm cool. Like, yeah. $250 for the vomit fee. I'm good. Let's do it.
I'm like, I'm not about to waste $8 on a ride and not get fucked up. So like, it's.
I've had some really cool Uber drivers. I'm not gonna lie. There's been a couple of times where these females have picked me up and
pull over
for me.
Oh yeah.
Speak slowly.
Yeah. So you're getting in the Uber and she's like, come on in.
She's like, hey, girl. And I'm like, hey.
Hey, what's up? Can I charge my phone?
Sup, you got a charger?
So, yes. Yeah, so
no, but there's mints in the side pocket.
So tell me more about, so you get in the female Uber, right? Okay, so go on. Yeah, huh?
So, and I've had a couple of these who are really, really cool. They'll pick me up and I'm totally drunk or, you know, just cannot really stand up much, but you know, they'll take me home, but I'm on the ride home. I'm kind of like, can you pull over? And I kid you not, like none of them have been like, oh my God, this chick. Oh, this bitch.
Fucking Barbie, you know? Can't hold her shit. So let her puke.
Yeah. Like these girls are like holding my hair back. You know what I mean?
Aww, so I'm kinda like, that's so sweet.
I love you. Like, you want McDonald's? Girl, I got you. Let's go to McDonald's.
So, bitch, you're too skinny. Let's get you some chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Do you find, like, there's a more camaraderie with the female Uber drivers than with the male ones?
Definitely. And I totally feel more safe than I would with a male driver.
That's such a really good point. Keep going.
I do. So when I see that I'm going to get a male driver, and I've seen this online and I've seen this on the TV, like I do check to see if there's a kid lock in the back seat where I'm about to climb into, and I always make sure that the kid lock is off, right? Because if you're inside, once you close that door, you can't get out if the child lock is on. Wow. So I always make sure that the child safe lock is off when I'm jumping into these cars.
You know, that is so fucked up because,
That's some shit you got to think about as a woman.
I know, and that's like,
yes,
this is all right. So this is, I call this penis privilege, but like, this is like, yeah, as a guy, you don't got to think about that. Like, hey, hey, garçon, the fucking door is locked. Come let me out. Like, it's
welcome
like to us.
Welcome to the boner dome.
Bend over and grab your toes. I'm going to show you where the wild goose goes. But like, yeah, like, you know, these are things you don't think about if you're a guy. You're like, whatever, dude, fucking mm-hmm. open the door, bitch. You know, yeah. Like, we don't think about that. So you do, like, that's like, and then on top of that, Margaret, like, it's the end of the night. So like, you got to be sober enough to remember that shit.
Okay. And you also cannot be so drunk to the point where you're passing out, you're falling asleep towards the end of your night, and this male is coming to pick you up. You know what I mean?
So what happens if you are that drunk? What do you do then?
I just leave it up to my girlfriends, and I'm just like, hey, I'm going to ride with you. I'm not going to ride alone, and I'll ride to your place. I'll stay with you the night because I'm not going to ride alone. Like, I'd rather stay at my girlfriend's home, apartment, whatever the case may be, rather than travel alone with a stranger who's a male, and I don't know this person whatsoever. I've canceled. Don't get me wrong. I've canceled a few rides because he was male.
Really?
And the picture didn't look, I hate to say this, but the picture didn't look safe to me. You know, like, his profile picture didn't look like I'd be in good hands. It just didn't.
Well, we don't want to go into detail.
I'd rather take that $10, $15 cancellation fee or whatever the case is. I'd rather take that rather than risk my life.
Well, for sure. And also, like, I don't even think twice. I was so reckless. I used to use Lyft. Do you know they don't mm-hmm. do background checks in Lyft?
Shut the fuck up. That's the only one that I do.
Do you know why I know that? Because time a dude picked me up with no legs, and he told me that's why he does Lyft and not Uber, because Lyft doesn't do background checks.
What?
All right, allegedly, this is what some guy told me. I don't fucking know. Maybe they do. But I had some pretty interesting Lyft rides. I should be careful what I say, because this is a fucking pocket. But yeah, one of the drivers once told me they don't do background checks. Maybe they do. And we'll do a fact check later on in the show.
When was this? Was this like 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. Or maybe three years ago. Or maybe two. Maybe two.
Why don't
yeah.
you just call let's call them app rides.
Yeah, so app ride.
Talk free.
There you go.
Thank you. So app ride with the purple logo, or pink and purple logo.
let me tell you a story about my brother's bachelor party. So we went to San Diego, right? So my brother and me, it was a great weekend. It was 3 days. The first night we get crazy, whatever. And as I get older, I just can't go hard in the paint, quote unquote, Kanye West anymore. so I do it, right? We just go for it. And Saturday, and the next day I'm going to fly out and whatever have you. And Mark's like, dude, we got this fishing trip planned. It's going to be fun. So we get up 7 a.m. And we wake up from Friday night's disaster, and we drink a beer, and we go. All day long, we're going fishing. We don't catch shit. We catch nothing but whatever. We have a great time on the water. We're drinking, having a good time. We get off the water. We go to the bar. My brother proceeds to just get obliterated, which a man should on his bachelor party.
Yeah.
And then he goes, it's probably 11:45. He goes, like, I'm done. What do you mean you're done? He goes, no, man, I'm done. I just want to go home. I said, okay. So I tell all his friends, hey, we're out. I'm gonna go and take care of him. I'm his best man. I'll take care of him. We're out. We're leaving. His buddies convince him to stay. Well, now that he's already transitioned in my mind, and I'm done, and I'm 40 at this time. Like, I'm 39, almost 40. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm done. So fuck you. You stay with your buddies. They'll take care of you. All right.
This is in San Diego, and you're on a fishing trip. And
we're in downtown San Diego. I don't book just any hotel, Lenny. Like, I had like Marriott points. this hotel's like $850 a night. Like, I used all my points on this shit.
No, I understand, but when he says I'm done, I'm ready to go, does he mean like I'm ready to go back to the hotel, or is like I'm ready to go back?
Yeah, like I'm ready to go back to the hotel. I'm done. So then he changes his mind. Okay, so I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to go back to the hotel. You're good. And I look at him. I grab his face. You know, hard conversation. Grab the face. You good? He says, yes, I'm good. So I ride back, and I get one of those scooters because we're in downtown San Diego. It's a couple of blocks away. I grab a scooter. I'm riding my scooter, and all of a sudden I stop my scooter because the hotel's across the street. And this guy just blazes past me through the red light. I mean, could have got hit by a car. And it's my brother. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? He goes up to the valet and he says, hey, go to the valet this for me. I'll be back in the morning. And he gives him the scooter.
I'm not following.
He was so drunk that he didn't realize you don't valet a scooter.
Oh my god.
And he just like dropped the scooter right there and walks up to the room, and I'm watching this happen, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like a freaking Ritz level hotel. Like, what are you doing? He's like, he's hammer drunk. He goes, I'll be back in the morning. That's what he tells.
Wow.
That's what he tells the guy. And so
I walk up to the room
and I was like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, man, I'm just tired. I'm real tired. It's okay. And I'm saying, I'm like trying not to laugh. So I go to sleep, wake up the next morning. I was like, do you realize what happened last night? He goes, what are you talking about?
He had no idea.
I said, dude, you freaking rode a scooter all the way to the hotel lobby and you valeted it.
Oh my god.
And he goes, you're lying. And he goes, no, dude, I'm not. Like, you literally told the valet, I'll be back in the morning. But you might
my scooter
wanna,
better be ready.
You might want to check your little apps. That's why I'm like, let's just call them apps. Anyway.
So you know what's crazy? You said something I want to do next time, but I went to Vegas for a buddy's bachelor party 2 years ago in the summertime. And one, like, we met and we start, you know, typical thing, right? You start like, you get there on a Friday or whatever, and then like you have your Friday night goes crazy, and Saturday you're at the pool nursing your hangover, and you fly back Sunday regretting every second you spent out in Vegas and like with a sunburn and a 3-day hangover. But this guy, one of the guys that went up, like we started the night Friday in downtown Fremont Street, and we're like one of the like, you know, cool old school hotels or casinos where it's like they're still doing like single deck blackjack where the dealer's dealing from the deck. And one of the guys that met us out there, he's like, he got there late, you know, late Friday. He just flown in. He didn't get a hotel room. He didn't have any luggage. Like, he showed up in his suit, whatever, showed up at the casino. We partied till like 12 o'clock the next day, or, you know, early the next day, staying up all night, drinking, everything else. And then he got on a plane and flew back home. He's like, yeah, no, I just do Vegas. I don't like to spend the night in Vegas. I come like this and then I go back and that's it. Like, I don't like to spend too much time in this town. And I'm like, dude, that's a fucking great idea. Like, I spent like at least $600, you know, at least on the hotel rooms alone with all the shit and everything else. And he's like, no, I just fly in one night. It's like, nobody remembers the second night anyways. It's like, it's, you're all hungover and it's a blur and it's like, like, dude, what a great fucking, like, he's like, yeah, my flight leaves tomorrow at 10 a.m. Like, I'll just, whatever, I'll party with you guys until then, and then I'll just get on a plane. Like, dude, no luggage, no nothing. Like, he didn't even have to pack a fucking toothbrush. Like, how brilliant is that?
What? So,
I know, right? Like, I'm like, dude, I think I'm going to do that next time. Next time I got a bachelor party, cause I guarantee one of my friends are going to get divorced and I'm going to have to do another one, which is pretty fun. Like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the Vegas for the night. And I think so. What's bad? Oh man, what's bad is that Vegas trip. I'm flying out. I'm at McCain Airport. I've got the worst sunburn ever. The worst hangover ever. And like one of my bosses from work is like, "Hey man, do you guys want to go to Vegas? Y'all want to go party in Vegas next weekend?" I'm like, I'm here right now, and I would do anything to get back home. Like, I'm dying to get back home. I just want to go home. I want to go home. I want my bed. I want to take a shower.
I'm going to go. Why don't we just change the divorce? So, you know how wives want, like, a mommy makeover?
No, what is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's a mommy makeover, Margaret?
Mommy makeover is when you get your boobs done, you get a lift, you get your tummy tuck, you get all the fat just sucked out of you. Everything, yeah, everything is cleaned up like before you were a mom.
Yep. So whenever they get the mom makeover, Lenny, we're just going to go to Vegas and just let them heal.
Do moms really do that? Amy's not going to do that shit.
It's a real deal, but buddy.
Margaret, did you do that?
Hey, what?
What?
Some women don't.
Did you have that done, Margaret?
Some women can naturally recover.
I have never done that, although I have thought about it. But it's super expensive.
I have. All right, so I've heard of. In fact, I have friends that had their boobs done after their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm like, you know.
Lenny likes mom boobs. He said it before.
It's not that. Well, sure, I like mom boobs, but it's like you're a mom now. It's like, who cares? Like, isn't that like, aren't you past that stage of like needing? Like, I would just think it'd be weird.
Okay.
Shit being like 70 years old and like
See?
Your boobs are 20.
I don't agree, Margaret, by the way. I know what Lenny thinks. Like,
well,
no, so, Leonard, let's just say like you're a mom and uh-huh. you're single.
Okay.
Right. So yeah. Those, I mean, I think from what you're saying is like, you're
the
a mom
that,
and not, and now you're
the
married.
Things that happen naturally.
Yeah, what? Exactly. Like you're a mom, you know, I think you're seeing it from a different perspective as I'm a mom and I'm married and I have my family. So who cares? Right. But if you're the single mom,
yeah,
you're gonna be like a toyger,
and you're competing like with a bunch of 20-year-olds. No, I also don't know because I dated plenty of single moms. Oh, trust me, I dated plenty of single moms because you're pretty much like you know they put out. Like I
yeah.
never had.
Oh, wait, what? Oh yeah.
Like you know what you're getting into. Like you don't want to be fooled, and then also it's like, well, what does that shit look like? And then again. Maybe I'm so pessimistic when it comes to this shit, but then it's like, well, okay, fine. They look great in your 35. What are they going to look like in 10 years when you're 45 or in 20 years mm-hmm. when you're 55 and they're 20? Like, it's going to look weird. It's just going to look super weird. And I guess you can have them taken out, I guess, by that time. But like, I don't know. It's like...
Reduced.
I guess. I don't know. And also, mm-hmm. You know what else? I will say I have no fucking point. I have no place to talk on this whatsoever. Like I should not talk about this at all. However, I will say.
But you will.
I dated mm-hmm. single women a lot, and never once did I care if their boobs were like, you know, flat from breastfeeding their kids. I knew what I was fucking getting into. Yeah. It's not like I had to be surprised. It's like, oh, you have a kid? Oh my God.
What?
It's like, yeah I kind of knew what I was getting into. But then, I don't know, maybe it just, I think it's also probably also like self-confidence also is like that's a reflection of your self-confidence. Not that it's bad, but it's like, if it makes you feel better, then
tread
you will project
lightly.
A better. Yeah, you'll project a better.
Tread lightly. Tread lightly.
What are you talking
you
about?
You know what, though? Let me tell you something, though. I have a few friends who have done the mommy makeover, who have gotten that tummy tuck, breast reduction, breast augmentation, whatever the case is. But I shit you not, they still edit their pictures.
What do you mean
they
edit their pictures?
Edit their fucking pictures.
Because you're
never happy.
Because they're never happy, exactly. Like, you can spend thousands of dollars redoing your body, but you're never fucking happy.
I think that's a really good point, Margaret. I think that is probably...
How many podcasts are we recording tonight?
I know,
I feel like
right?
we're like on the stage. Like,
we don't have to bring up the fact that I fucked up the first... No, I think that is a good point, Margaret, because you're right. You're chasing happiness. Omar, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're chasing happiness. And truth be told, like, and that might be great. That might be great. But also, like, isn't it also, like, aren't you also happy having two kids or a kid or whatever else?
Yes.
And
I guess that's not enough satisfaction. There it is.
So that's full circle now.
And then, yeah, but hang on. As a guy dating a single mom, which I've done, like, I was more attracted to women that had happier relationships with their kids than I did. And I didn't date any that had like the boobs done and all that stuff. I didn't date any that had the boobs and all that, the mommy makeup. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's more of like, that's for mommy. Like that's for mommy. And mm-hmm. I was always attracted.
You're missing something, Lenny. Like what you just said, it's like, so like, it's man, it's crazy. So you're chasing happiness. Everybody in life is chasing happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in some cases, you know,
it kind of goes back to the three perspectives we have here. Like you, 10 years, me, 2 years, Margaret, been there, done that. Like we're all chasing happiness.
Yeah, but yeah.
Through a mommy makeover, or whether it be through a new marriage, or whether it be through an old marriage where mm-hmm. you have DOR, we're all chasing happiness. So when do we just stop and be happy?
Well, again, so
like the deep shit right there. Like that's where you just say, when do we just be happy?
Well, so in some like the case Margaret's talking about is like when their boobs are bigger and they look like they did before they had kids. Like that's what it's.
But you can't make over the J. I'm just saying.
Like, yeah, what I'm saying, but that's
although there are operations and procedures to do so. I just don't think it's not the same.
Wait, procedures for doing what?
The extra stitch.
Yes.
Oh, who gives a fuck? Who gives? Nobody. You think any guy notices that shit? Like, no.
No.
Yeah, Margaret, they're just happy to get in your pants. They don't care. It's not like they notice anything like that. And if they did, you're wasting your fucking time. I did all the dating of the single moms fucking way before I got married. Like your guys are attracted to women that are happy. Like that's what they're attracted to. They're attracted to women.
I agree 100%.
They're attracted to
women. You know what I have found? Let me tell you, in dating, I have found that men are not attracted to independent women.
That's not true.
No,
absolutely not, Margaret. You need to find some. Guys
are just kind of like put off by the independence or, I guess, the strength of an independent woman.
Wait a minute. When you say that, are you saying that guys don't like respect your schedule if you've got other commitments, or are you just saying truly they don't?
They're intimidated.
By what specifically?
Intimidated by. I guess the independence. I'm still trying to figure this out because I feel like I'm an independent person. And for the most part, if they don't feel like I need them, then they don't pursue.
So hang on. Unless you're saying they don't feel like you're giving them enough attention, which is different.
Mm-hmm.
If it's mm-hmm. more about like, I like they want your attention, but you're too busy giving attention to your kids and your career. That's not that they're afraid of the independence. That just means that they want more of your attention. And that may be a little bit of you kind of pushing them away, saying like, I don't want to get too close to you either, because I got to worry about the shit that's stable in my life and you are not. And you're transient and my job and my kids are stable. But if you're saying that guys are truly intimidated, because there are, I know guys, like I know girls that are really, really smart, really, really successful and single as fuck and really cute, really good looking, but they're like, they have a very hard time finding guys. And in their situation, you know, yeah, okay, I can see that guys would be intimidated because they're probably smarter than the men. They probably make more money than the men. And the men are not, you know, they feel like they're not needed. But I don't think that in 2020, guys feel like they have to be the breadwinner. I think we're past that. I agree with that.
Like, honestly, Margaret, like, I don't think that that's the right answer. Like, my wife is extremely independent. But what draws me to her is when she's happy. Yeah, even like we have silly arguments. Like, what makes me gravitate to my wife is when she's happy, when she's full of joy, when she's celebratory in a moment. Like, she brings something to me. So
because the converse of that is when she's mad and yelling at us, which we don't like.
Yeah,
so that's
of course.
So for guys, we like.
But if my wife was dependent on me. Mm-hmm. It is extremely unattractive.
Well, it's just,
and that's just me.
And maybe it's
like,
just
I don't want a woman that's going to depend on me fully. I want a woman that will share the pedestal. Like I always tell my wife that. Like, you know, I don't win in an argument. Like there's nothing cool to stand alone, but there is something to be said to agree.
Yeah, sure.
And that to me, like when a woman says, like, you know what? Maybe this one, you may be right. Tomorrow, maybe I'm right. But there's always room on the pedestal for you. And so when a woman is, like, needy or dependent, that means that I'm on the pedestal alone. And a man that wants that, there's honestly, Margaret, that's toxic. And I don't want to say, like, I'm not speaking for the general public. I'm just saying from my relationship, mm-hmm. we stand together. And when we don't stand together, it affects us. Like we don't function correctly, and she knows right. that. And I'll tell her, I'm like, look, you don't see eye to eye right now. I'm gonna go ahead and stand here, and when you are in a place where you want to discuss it, let's discuss it. But we're learning those things, and that's why you know, Lenny jokes is full circle. Marriage is hard. It is hard. Because mm-hmm. we're learning to stand together instead of as individuals.
So let me ask.
That's true.
I think Omar's spot on. So Mark, is that where you're? I mean, are you coming from the place where are you genuinely thinking that the guys are intimidated or they don't want that or they want somebody or do they just want attention?
No. I'm seriously thinking that some of these guys they do. Kind of cower at the fact that, you know, I'm seeing for myself that, you know, like I'm just totally independent and I'm very strong willed and I'm, you know, I'm just direct. And a lot of guys just kind of don't like that. You know what I mean? They just kind of like, oh shit, this is too much for me.
What reaction are you getting from guys when you say that?
They kind of just, okay, well, you know, I'll let you know when I'm available. And, you know, really? I'm kind of like, okay, am I too strong? Am I just too not needy? You know what I mean?
Told you before, I'll let you know when I'm available?
Yes, that has happened.
No
I'm
fucking
not gonna
way.
Shit you. Seriously, that has happened. Well, you know, we've gone out on a date, the first date, and... I'm direct. You know what I mean? Because I know what I want and I'm not going to bullshit.
So wait, when you say that, okay. So I'm a little scared when you say that, when you're a little direct, mm-hmm. what does that mean? Like explain it to me. Like I'm a 6-year old.
I'll tell you what I'm looking for and I'll tell you what I want and I'll tell you what I need.
So how, like, okay. So what are you looking for? Tell me. All right. So pretend we'll do some role playing. Hey, yeah. So great. Yeah. Great weather we're having today. I'm going to order the fish. What are you going to order?
Well, I may order the fish as well. Well, why don't we just share the fish? You know, like this is something like they'll say, well, why don't we just share the fish and you order something different? Well, no, I kind of want my own plate of fish.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Is that being like stubborn? Or is that being...
No. I'm that way. Amy used to love that. She's like, ooh, what are you going to order? I'm like, I'll decide after you pick your shit. And she's like, well, no, because I don't want to order the same thing because then we could try two different things. I'm like, I don't want to share. I don't want to do that. Like,
I'm going to go ahead and interject here because guys don't start till after you're married. You get your own plate. Like after you're married, then you can start to share plates because then we're all on a diet.
Yeah. We're both gonna have the salad, no dressing.
Yeah, exactly. No bread.
No dressing. I got gluten allergies, bitch.
Yeah, okay. we got one at home. You're getting water.
Yeah. So all right. So Margaret, so you when you do this, so when you're direct with the guy, so like, are you saying like what you expect out of a relationship, like on the first date, or like how are you scaring him off?
I that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I'm being too direct. Am I being in the conversation? You know, our first date conversation. I will say what I want, what I expect out of a relationship, because I mean.
So what do you? All right. So what do you want, and what do you expect out of a relationship? Tell me.
I'm not going to beat around the bush and, you know, and say like, oh, this is cute. Oh, this is sweet. Like, no, I'm going to tell you what I'm expecting out of this relationship. And, you know, if I just want to be your friend.
Honestly, yeah. Like, so what are you expecting?
Margaret, time out, Margaret. Time out. I want you to define the relationship right now. What does Margaret want from a relationship? Like, vocalize it, because you've talked about it all night long, but what is it?
So what I would expect out of a relationship is support, meaning, you know, if you're going to be in a relationship with me, I would expect support from a male's perspective on helping me raise my son.
Yeah, you need, because you need a partner.
Now it's just me and my son.
Yeah, you need a partner in the parenting job.
That's yeah, great. Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. I need support in that. I really do. I need support in that.
Okay.
Because I don't think like a female has the right perspective on raising a son on her own. Like, he needs a male figure. Definitely. I totally think like he needs a male figure. So you have to be that right male figure, and I want to be the one to judge whether you're the right one or not. Of course.
It's a lot of pressure, but okay.
It is a lot of pressure. And that's what I think. Like, I just, you know, I just kind of like throw it out there from the get go. And I'm just like, hey, I expect this. I want this. And if you can't get this, then let's just be friends. You know,
so I'm going to say something, and I don't mean to be rude. Like,
that's okay.
Like, press pause, Lenny, because, like, you know, like, Margaret, we're friends, and I think of you, like, I see you primarily now through social media, mm-hmm. but my sister's in a very similar situation, and she has a 5-year-old daughter, and she's like, I want somebody that's going to just, like, come in and, like, understand, like, I don't want somebody with children. I'm like, whoa, bro, you kill a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
I was like, have you ever thought about when you say you want somebody that's going to fill this role, right? Like, you want somebody that's going to be a, well, what are you doing to fill that gap right now?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask yourself that. Like, you, in essence, you're dual parenting. Right. Yeah. So if you're saying you want somebody that's going to fill the male figure, which Lenny said it, he's like, that's a lot. That's heavy. It's heavy. A lot.
Well, it's heavy. It's heavy for somebody that doesn't have a kid. If it's somebody that has a kid, then I'll tell you right now, before I had Emma, I didn't know fucking what I was talking about, like dating single parents. I had no fucking. And you know what? They probably saw right through that shit too.
But Lenny goes back to it. Like, you have to already be standing on that pedestal and just say, hey, I know it's a lot, but I'm right here. Like, mm-hmm. oh man, you have to be mm-hmm. willing to reach out and allow them to join you. And a lot of times in a relationship, I think and I don't know this, I'm just knowing this from my sister, so vicariously living through my sister. A lot of times my sister feels like people should just be willing to step into that role, and she doesn't have to reach out to them. And I try and tell her that. It's a very sensitive subject. It's super sensitive.
It is.
Yeah, like, I don't know that, but I'm just seeing from the outside looking in. I'm like, you know, sis, why don't you reach out to them and bring them on to where you are versus expect them to just walk into it? Say, let me help you. This is what I need.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let me help you get there.
Mm-hmm. One of the things. Yeah, go ahead, Omar.
No, I'm done. That's it.
One of the things that Margaret brought up, I think, on one of the previous episodes, though, was like she had issues with, because I will say before I had Emma, I had no fucking clue what it would be like to be a parent and to step mm-hmm. into the role, especially like 5 years in, or how old Sowell now? 9, 10?
He's 12.
So to step in, like, you know, Sol's already got a 12-year advantage on some guy that's not a dad. Like, that's super mm-hmm. hard. And I used to think, like, oh, I've got nieces and nephews. I know what the fuck I'm talking about, which I didn't. So I think that's really hard. But Margaret talked about, like, one of the last serious relationships you were in was with another parent who had a kid. And it's like, and then you ran into the problem of, like, different parenting styles. So yeah. it's super, I'm not even going to pretend like it's an easy answer, because it's super challenging. Because what Margaret, you're talking about is you need somebody that's going to help with the raising of the child in a mm-hmm. manner that you approve, like in a manner that's cohesive with the way you're already doing it. Right.
Exactly.
And that's, yes. that's definitely hard. I'm a little bit, so, and I told this to Margaret the other day, or the one of the last part, I was like, I think personally, like, when I was talking about, like, when I go out and what I was attracted to was women that are happy, not necessarily independent or dependent. That never really mattered, because I've dated both. What I was immediately attracted to was women that are happy. Is that I think you need to find happiness for yourself first. And then, like, mm-hmm. everything, nah, and then it's also, like, romantic. It's like, oh, everything will just work itself out. Like, that's what you say when you're not going to be the one dealing with all the shit. But, like, mm-hmm. that's part of it. Like, you know, you got to put yourself first. And as a parent, I don't know how the hell you do that. Like, I honestly yeah. I have no idea. Like, maybe it's easier with a 12-year-old than when it's a 5-year-old. But with a 5-year-old, fuck, how do you put yourself first ever? In what world? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in what world are you putting yourself ahead? If you're a single parent, in what world are you putting yourself ahead of your 5-year-old? And if you are, probably not the kind of person you want. Like, that's not a very good thing, right?
Right. So,
I don't know, Margaret. I think yeah. you're gonna be single forever. Sorry.
No.
And you know what? Like, I see these. So when I used to work at Zachary, there was this one lady. She was older, and like nobody would ever get along with her. And she was in her maybe mid-60s. And she, like, surprised everybody that she was getting married. They were like, what the fuck? You were dating? What?
I know who this is. I know who this is.
Right? And I'm thinking, like, oh, shit, there's hope for me.
If you could trick somebody.
Exactly. If you can fool them.
I also think
I got hope. There's hope for me.
So, all right. So, all kidding aside, and it's going to sound like I'm kissing your butt, Margaret, but I'm not. But all kidding aside, I'm also willing to bet that, like, because you are cute, like, without makeup, but when you get dolled up, you go from, like, fucking, you're like a solid 6.5, but with makeup, you, like, go fucking, like, there's certain
days. All makeup, tranny.
You're, like, all tranny. Like, see, you're all drag.
Like, no, like you goes, drag race. Like, seriously.
No, she doesn't. And it makes sense that we know that she used to be a hairdresser. Fucking no wonder you look so good. Like, there's days where she goes out and I'm like, God damn. That's
tongue,
like,
behind the teeth. Tongue, yeah, behind the teeth.
Yeah. I'm like, she, that outfit and all that must have taken 2 hours of prep time. But so, like, I can also imagine if you get all dolled up to the nines, you're probably intimidating people just on. By them, just by your looks alone, you're probably already intimidating a lot of guys. And then you throw the piece on where, like, you've got your shit together and you've got, like, these high expectations and you're talking to some douchebag. Yeah, I can see why he's like, I'll let you know when I'm available, because I'm playing video games online next weekend with my friends. We got this big invasion.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, they're just.
Well, because, I mean, the guy that you're, so obviously, like, the initial phase, the screening to get you to that point failed. Mm-hmm. You need to do a better job screening to get to that point.
So it's so true. Cool. What's so cool about what Margaret's going through is, like,
that your we're
daughter's
not.
Kind of, you know, like, okay, so you had your daughter when you were 19, okay? Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It's really cool. Like, I'm just totally, like, having this moment right now. Granted, alcohol has played a massive effect on my perspective. So, but what's so cool is that your daughter has learned how to respect herself, be selfish in her actions, and now is learning to be selfless.
Yes, definitely. Okay?
That's what the military teaches you. It's like, give back. Mm-hmm. And what you have learned from being a mother at 19 was like a crash course. and you had to be selfish. You had to keep it close to the heart. And now you're learning to be selfless and share your pedestal. The thing you had to own, you had no choice. Like, you owned your mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one else would.
Yeah.
You had to be a mom. And now you're learning how to share. So now, in essence, you are both learning to be selfless at the same time. So where you were a mother at 19 and you had no clue what you were doing and you grew together, you're in essence growing together again. I know it's deep.
That's great. Yeah, that is.
I know it's deep, but it's like you have to understand, Margaret, that you have a lot to offer. And when you are, you have to find someone that's willing to share it with you and go through it with you. And that's what, like Lenny, fortunately, thank God, I cross myself every time I freaking, every time I say Amy's name, I cross myself. They're like, God bless that woman. Like, she freaking, she loves it. She loves Lenny. So, but, like, seriously, like, we have to find someone that's willing to go through it with us.
And I think that's
what it's all about.
For now.
What? Lenny, you're speaking? Like, sorry.
For,
like,
now.
Is it for now. Is that Russian?
For now.
For now.
Yeah.
Seriously, you have to think about somebody who's going to go with it, who's going to go through it with you.
Also, you know, there's got to be more
journey.
There's got to be more to it than that, though. I think maybe we're probably painting a very quick picture of like the specific scenario that you're going through where you scare the guy off on the first date. Is that always the case? You always scare the guys off on the first date?
I would hate to think so, but I mean, it feels like it is, but I mean, I'm just being me. You know what I mean? I'm just being me, and maybe that's what it is.
Being me.
Being me, like spunky and funny and like outgoing, and they're just like, "Okay, this is a little too much."
Yeah, and you know what? Truth be told, like, if there's anything that really, like, if there's a really good screening, it's probably doing that. Like if you really want to weed through the bullshit, you want to do that, because what you don't want to do is, like, sort of change. I don't know, like, you want to be the same person that you are now that you're going to be in 50 years. Like
all the that's, time, yeah.
Yeah, and like, yeah, because those are the things you can't change. I guess that would be hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still kind of, my head right now is in the boob jobs for the moms, the mom boob jobs.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah,
that and you getting in the car with the Uber driver, the girl Uber drivers. Those are swirling through my head.
I love her. Wherever she's at, I love her.
I think we need to have a radio show, like all three of us.
Well, what the fuck do you think you're on, dude?
I'm deep and emotional. Lenny's like very, very blunt with obvious perspective, and freaking Margaret is like seriously like the wild card. Like, she's just she has all of the freaking debate for us. So,
well, she's just we got the most relevant experience right now. Like, Omar and I are like, we're at the part where like, hey, they got a wine special at this restaurant. We're gonna go to this restaurant for the wine. Margaret's like, yeah, I'm gonna get dressed and go to this patio and gonna hook up with this DJ. Yeah, I'm gonna hook up with the DJ. They're gonna go to Albany Club.
DJ Bald Eagle.
Yeah.
That has so many innuendos now that I think about it.
Yeah,
it really does. Yeah. Just leave it there.
Anyways, well, no, all right. I think it's getting super late. We can wrap it up. I feel terrible. So we're already like 50 minutes into this podcast, and we'd already recorded an hour. And
my 20. My wife already said Lenny just never stops talking. So I'm good.
That's cool. Our wives are talking about us now. That's great. I'll ask Amy what she thinks about you guys.
She loves me.
Yeah, we'll see what that is.
we'll see how that one goes.
So Margaret, so real quick, so look, we're gonna record another one on Thursday. But do you have any dates lined up between now and then?
I could make it happen.
Oh wow! Oh wow!
Wow! I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little scared about the
situation. I have a question. How do you make it happen? Like, how can you make that happen?
Because
like,
she's attractive, like, Omar. We are not.
Go to the local Indian restaurant and say, like, no. Yo, you, me, like, dude, tomorrow night.
Omar, she's attractive. We're not. All she has to do is, like, put a thing on Facebook. Hey, who feels like going out and have a drink on Thursday?
Not that easy.
Like
five dudes.
Mama's hungry. Mama wants some food.
Dangle the carrot. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's how.
Mama is thirsty.
Omar, when you're dealing with girls, girls don't have to, like, it's not like they have to work for it. Like, guys are automatically asking them out.
I'm so jealous.
What are you talking about, Omar? Hilarious. Omar, you're happily married. What are you talking about?
I'll be specific. Mama wants some fucking lobster. Mama wants some shrimp.
I mean, do you have to, like, hang out in different, like, areas, like, certain to get certain appetites? Like, if you go to, like, the west side, you get Mexican food. Like, if you go over by SeaWorld, you might get some seafood.
Yeah. Like,
oh my
seriously,
God.
Food trucks. I'm like, Mama wants some street tacos.
Oh, that does sound sick. Dude, so real quick, I did make a badass dinner tonight. I made, I made chile relleno. And as a kid, I never liked it. Or even like 2 years ago, I never liked it. But once I made it for the first time in my life a couple weeks ago, I thought, man, these motherfuckers are delicious. And I made the red sauce to go with it. Anyways, I'm like, all right, we're gonna eat dinner early, and then I'm gonna do. You guys all right?
Yeah.
What's that noise?
My dog.
Oh, fucking hate. So I knew that, like, we're gonna record, probably have a couple of drinks. I'm like, I'm gonna be, like, done recording at like 11 o'clock. I'm like, man, I want a little fucking snack before bed. So I had one chile relleno already set aside. And so I was doing stuff. We're putting Emma to bed. And I go back in the kitchen. I'm like, who the fuck ate my last chile relleno? And I'm looking over at fucking Indy laying on the ground. My fucking dog ate it. Yes.
No.
Yes. I don't know.
Does her tummy get, like, fucked up or anything when she eats table food?
Not most table food, but if she eats too fast, she'll throw up. But she's never eaten a chile relleno. Like, chili, like, what the fuck? I don't know.
She's Mexican, bro.
That's what Amy said.
Let her live.
So we were wondering, like, because we adopted her here in Houston. Like, well, do you think, because Houston's a pretty metropolitan area. Like, do you think she's got, like, a British, like, if she talked, would she be British? And if it was, would it be, like, that real guttural, like, I'm from Southampton. I didn't know, like, what do you think her accent would be like? And then apparently
what if she's from Fourth Ward, fool?
Yeah, actually, dude, apparently she's Mexican because she likes chile relleno with Oaxaca.
I mean, she's probably written on freaking George Floyd, like, that she's Mexican, or she's black.
Maybe.
You don't know.
You don't know. Anyways, like, well, listen, guys, let's wrap this up because we can talk for hours and we're already, like, three hours into it.
Babe, by the way, that is, like, the coolest thing about what you're doing, Lynn. Like,
what's that? Being married,
like,
to my wife?
You're like the vieja of us all, man. Like, you're keeping us all together. You're like grandma.
Yeah. Oh, right. Abuela.
Yeah. Yeah. You're abuelita.
All right. Everybody go to bed. Put your tequilas down. I am drinking tequila, by the way. Put your tequilas down and go to bed. It's time for bed. We're going to bed. That's it. No more dancing. No more rancheras. Yeah.
Love you guys. Peace out.
All right. Margaret,
bye.
Bye. This is fun. We'll catch up later.
Yeah. Okay. So wait, do I go on a date and, like?
Did you just say okay? So did you say okay?
Yeah.
So?
Margaret. Yeah. No. Queso. Don't force it, Margaret. But if you go on a date, like, I don't know, like, take some notes.
No, I could force it. Is this?
Oh my God.
Mama's terrible. Going fishing.
Just so, like, we could have something to talk about on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll do some research. Yeah, I think you should. I think you should definitely go on a date if you can.
Street science, you're on the air. Street science. Freaking some Tupac shit right here.
I think, yeah, no, Margaret, if you can, go on a date, make it safe. You know, get a ride.
Have we decided that this is going to be like the trifecta, like radio show right now?
this is what I call the menage a trois.
Yeah, but Omar, you're a transient, so you're transient.
Well, I'm okay with that. As long as I don't become the transvestite, that's what I get to worry.
We'll see how we do. I think we definitely need to revisit. There's a lot we need to revisit that we skipped over or that I forgot to record on. So. Or that I lost recording on. So I think we definitely need to have Omar back for sure.
I definitely want to do where we have more structured conversation. Obviously, Lenny's.
I tried that, fucker. I really tried that. But
two fucking squirrels. He's so just like let the natural phenomena of relationship and friendship happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, you just need to learn to shut up, Lenny.
yeah, I'll let you just ramble on about all kinds of shit.
Love you.
All right, well, this is good. Right. Omar, we're playing golf tomorrow?
Yep.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, jealous. Yeah.
So what did you think of that, Margaret?
That was awesome.
Did you enjoy having
really good.
Yeah, I feel terrible. I feel really bad that I fucked up the... I don't know if I screwed it up or I don't know if when Omar's phone clipped in and out, I fucked up and we lost like the first hour and a half of the conversation and I felt terrible.
No, that much?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Well, we've been talking for 2.5 hours now and
yeah,
I've only recorded 57 minutes of it. So I think either my iPad fucked up or when Omar's phone did that thing, it deleted it. I don't know what happened, but I feel terrible, but I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it was interesting. I think we kept it pretty upbeat. I feel bad because like I can't remember the shit. We talked about so much stuff in the first hour and a half.
I know.
So that's my fault. I'll take that one on the cheek. That's totally it doesn't matter. You know what? I'm going to take the blame. It's my fault. I'm just going to say that I fucked up. I will own it and I am sorry about that.
Well, you go back to the, you know, you go back to the recordings and see what we lost and
well, we lost everything.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so. Wow. But you know what? That's okay. I think that's part of life. You know, shit happens. You got to roll with the punches. Things happen.
Yeah, for sure. And then, we'll figure out what we lost. You know what I mean? And then we'll, you know, recap.
Yeah, we can revisit this. Go back and revisit. There's a lot we can rehash. Until then, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate the patience. This is good. And your dogs make a lot of fucking noises. like, I want some attention. See, if that's what the guys you're dating are asking for, then it's not because your dog's intimidated because you're successful. He just wants some fucking love. That's all. Oh, shit. Anyways, listen, this is a lot of fun. I think, I screwed up big time, but that's okay. That's all right.
It's all good.
Look forward. You go on a date, find somebody, and then fill us in on how it goes.
This is going to be like an experiment, right? Like,
yeah, but I don't think
you should only have like 2 days,
but I also don't think you should take advice from either Omar or I. We're definitely not qualified.
Omar said,
especially when it comes to dating. I mean, I think I know what I'm saying. I think, but dude, I'm not the best at this shit. I'm really not. I'm really, really not. Anyways. All right. No. So, hey, everybody's safe at home. Everybody's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's crazy times here. So be
all safe. Yeah, it is.
I'm definitely still kind of in a weird place, but it's all good.
I think I'm gonna try to like have a date in the middle of all these protests.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I would totally.
Would you use it? So I told Amy. So all right. So you know, cat's out of the bag. I'm very liberal, being Mexican, college educated, minority. I'm not conservative. So and under 60. So like just the general like. Big shocker there, but and so Amy's also very liberal. I have friends that are very liberal that married very conservative men, and vice versa. And I don't know that I could have done that. I don't know. It'd be very strange for me to, like, you know, not saying that, like, what's happening now, it's like a political thing. Like, you got to be like one side or the other for that. I think you can be conservative and think that, you know, police shouldn't kill people. But, like, I think, yeah, I don't know, that would be hard. I don't know. I think of all the things that Amy and I disagree on, the things we agree on the most is like money and politics.
Definitely.
That's probably a good thing, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you have your own point of view, and it's not going to ruin the household, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, for the most part.
Yeah. All right, well, you've got your homework assignment. Find you some dude, take you out from mans, and.
Yeah, okay. I'll have, like, maybe max 3 dates.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday. Yeah, 3 or maybe 4. maybe do a lunch and a brunch and a dinner. I didn't realize you were a hairdresser. Oh my god.
So
seriously, I'm not kidding. Hairdressers, I love y'all. I know several. Y'all are fucking crazy.
Crazy. Like, yeah, for sure. Crazy.
When I was in Ohio, the hairdresser broke down my door to my apartment. Like,
you're lucky.
I know.
She broke down.
Well, so it's bad, and of course I deserved it. I was hooking up with somebody else that night. So, like, I didn't know that we were dating. Had I known that me and the hairdresser were an item, because, like, we had hooked up at a bar, right? We had hooked up at a bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had I known that we were dating, I wouldn't have been so flamboyant, and I wouldn't have hooked up with somebody else. But I didn't know. Like, trust me. Like, I was exhausted. Right. I worked 10 and a half hour, 11 hour days at a time. Like, I didn't want to go out and try and hook up with her. Like, if I knew that I'm like, oh, this is a girl, like, I'm dating and we can go eat dinner and then hook up. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I didn't know.
Were you exhausted of dating?
I was exhausted of work, and I didn't want to go, like, to the bar and then, like, try and hook up all over again. If I'd known that, like, because I thought it was like a one night stand. I didn't know. I just didn't know.
Gotcha.
And apparently she thought we were dating, and had I known anyways. So one night I had gone and I had hooked up with somebody else, and I went to her apartment, and we lived like within walking
that
distance
happened.
Yeah, we lived like within walking distance from the club or the bar, and mm-hmm. the my roommate at the time was an engineer for the engineering company, and he was inside the house. And he was trying to, like, enjoy himself for the evening. Like, he was married, and he just wanted to, like, he would go out drinking and then go home and, like, just be, like, that's it. Like, he was kind of a little bit of an older guy. He's like, yeah, he's going to go have drinks, whatever, and then go home, like, watch TV and pass out, make a sandwich and go to bed. He didn't want to be bothered. He didn't want to have the big party or loud. So the hairdresser that I was dating thought I was home hooking up. Like, she knew I was hooking up, but she thought I was home hooking up. So she was knocking on the door, and my roommate wouldn't let her in. And he's like, he's not here. And so, and of course, I got all this the next morning. So I showed up the next morning, right? And I'm like, you know, I got a ride back because the girl I hooked up with dropped me off. And so I'm walking in, and, like, I can see the door jamb is busted open. Like, the door's broken to my apartment. And I walk in, and I'm looking at my roommate, and he's on the recliner, right? Like, he looks like he just found out he was adopted, and he's just got this weird look on his head, and he mouths the words to me, "Your girlfriend is upstairs." And I go, "Girlfriend? What girlfriend?" And then I look up the stairwell, and I see the hairdresser, and she's on the phone. She's like, "Oh, never mind. The son of a bitch just got home. I'm gonna go give him a piece of my mind."
Shut the fuck up.
I am serious. I'm like, oh my God. This is one of the many Ohio Chronicles. And so this is when I was working in Ohio in construction, very, very different time in my life. So anyways, so I'm there, and I got, like, hickeys. The girl worked for the client. So we're a construction company, and she was an employee of the client at the time. And so she had, like, scratched my back, and, like, it was a crazy night. Like, we had a wild night.
Oh, my God.
I know. Like, I had scratch marks and everything else. And then, so the hairdresser, and then I found out what happened is she came over that night, like at 2:30 or 3 in the morning, trying to confront me, thinking that I hooked up with the girl at home and not knowing that I went to her place. And she wouldn't, my roommate wouldn't let her in. So she broke the fucking door down with her shoulder.
Yeah.
She like, like fucking like Velociraptor style or T-Rex style, broke the fucking door down. And my roommate freaked out and he's like, he's not here. So she went upstairs looking for me. I had a two-story apartment. Went upstairs looking for me and then waited for me. She fucking parked it on the chair and waited for 4 hours for me to come home.
Damn. Oh, that's psycho shit right there.
That's hairdresser shit is what that is. I had no fucking clue what I was getting into. It was insane. I was lucky to be alive. Holy shit. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if she did that while I was asleep? She would have cut my dick off. I was fucking lucky. So that was a scary time in my life. And I'm not going to lie. I do think that her being a hairdresser kind of put her in a place where, like, she's capable of, like, killing, like, easily capable of killing me. Like, that's
for sure.
I was convinced, like, you don't fuck around with this chick. And what's funny, though, like, that later that week at the job site, like, that was, like, on the weekend. And the next week, the lady that worked for the client that I hooked up with that scratched my back, she told everybody, because everybody would walk behind me, hey, Lenny, and, like, like slap my back. How's it going, Lenny? I'm like, like I had all these cuts and shit. So anyways.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Oh shit. Dude.
And then I hooked up with a self mutilator. That was weird. That was also
you had it bad.
It was bad. It was a wonderful experience, but like having come from, like, I just graduated college and I'm working in this small town and like all these construction workers and then like the shit that I was exposed to, I'm like, wow, this is shit got real. Anyways. All right. Well, listen, we need to wrap it up for reals now. I'm going to do a little intro to this. So I normally do an intro. I don't know if you've picked up on watching this, but I normally do an intro to get these things kicked off and then we go into it. But I wanted you to kind of be part of the outro. So anyways. Yep. It was good. It was sweet. Fun. I liked it.
It was good. It was good. I had fun today.
I did too. I'm glad we chatted. I'm glad we got we covered a lot of ground, even though I only recorded half of it. Anyways, I know I fucked up. Hey, look, at least I admit when I fuck up, right? Okay. Well, I'm gonna roll the fucking whistly clappy song, and we'll wrap it up. But Margaret, this is great. Love you to death. Keep going. Keep doing awesome. Yep. Take care. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.